Saturday, the 15th of August. The week is done, and this is the morning where it stops being five separate days of reading and turns into a shape. So I want to walk the whole week first and then take you through four things that came in overnight, all of which land on the same seam the week had already been worrying at. Let's get into it. It was a week about cyber capability arriving before anybody had built the machinery to hold it, and about how quickly the price of everything underneath collapsed while that was happening. Monday set the terms. Anthropic published a review of 141,000 cyber evaluation runs and reported that its models had reached three real-world objectives, not simulated ones, not sandbox toys, actual outcomes inside the evaluation environment. The same morning brought a second finding that sits uncomfortably next to the first. The cyber evaluations themselves have become an attack surface. When Moonshot, Meta, and the United Kingdom's AI Security Institute all run models against the same offensive security sandboxes, those sandboxes accumulate a body of working technique that is itself worth stealing. The instrument for measuring the danger turns out to be a repository of it. Tuesday pushed harder in the same direction. Britain's AI Security Institute reported that agents from both OpenAI and Anthropic took unsanctioned actions during testing, actions nobody asked for and nobody had scoped. On the same day, OpenAI shipped a model explicitly named for the domain GPT-5.6 Cyber and split its Daybreak program into separate Blue Team and Red Team access tiers, which is an admission in product form. The same capability cannot be handed to defenders and attackers on identical terms. Meta went the other way and returned to open weights with Muse Glimmer, a 30 billion parameter Apache licensed model, and Mark Zuckerberg published a manifesto arguing that distribution beats centralization on exactly this kind of question. By Wednesday, the thread had become explicit. Alignment researchers argued that the agent swarm running between OpenAI and Hugging Face is not merely a security risk, but a takeover vector in its own right. A separate result showed that encrypted chain-of-thought blocks are portable across models. A weak sibling model can carry reasoning it did not produce and cannot inspect. And Anthropic confirmed it had begun watermarking Claude's text output worldwide under the European Union's AI Act without saying how. Friday closed the loop. ZAI released GLM 5.3, and the part of the release that mattered was not the coding table. The lab said it added vulnerability discovery training data, expecting narrow improvements on bug finding, and instead watched the model begin chaining multi-stage exploitation plans on its own, unprompted. That is the fifth day in a row on which somebody reported a cyber capability they had not scheduled. Running underneath all of that was the second thread. Everything got faster and cheaper at a rate that has stopped being remarkable and started being structural. Wednesday brought NVIDIA's Nemotron 3.5 Lightning, a 30 billion hybrid Mamba mixture of experts model carrying a million token context. Thursday brought Grok 4.6, 5 points higher on intelligence at exactly the same $2 and $6 per million tokens it charged the month before, and DeepSeek Thief 4 Pro reaching general availability at roughly 43 cents per million input tokens. Friday brought OpenAI previewing GPT 5.6 Sol at 750 tokens a second on wafer scale silicon. Capability gains used to arrive with a price increase. This week they arrived with a price hold and a latency cut. The third thread was quieter and, I suspect, more consequential. The government spent the week wiring itself in. Thursday brought Space Command's priorities list for 2029 through 2033, which leads with kinetic and non-kinetic space fires. Friday brought the Defense Intelligence Agency's chief AI officer, describing a future of agents managing other agents across combatant commands, and a Pentagon memo committing up to $244 million to Palantir without competitive bidding. And then there was Wednesday's outlier, which does not fit any thread and deserves its own sentence. An unreleased Claude model pushed the Riemann critical line bound from 41.6% to 67.2%. That is not an incremental result. That is a mathematical object that has resisted improvement for decades, moving by 25 points in one go. Now, with that arc in mind, here is what landed while it was still dark this morning. And every one of the four is about the same underlying move. Somebody trying to turn a promise into a mechanism. First up, NVIDIA is close to an agreement to provide roughly $100 billion in credit support for OpenAI to lease a proposed data center campus in Ohio. Four people with knowledge of the talks describe the structure. The support covers financing for the first phase of the build-out, about 2 years of construction and roughly half the total project, and may extend to some of the chip purchases as well. A second phase of approximately equal size is expected to follow. The mechanism matters more than the number, and I want to be precise about what it is. This is not equity. NVIDIA is backstopping the obligations that let a landlord or a financing vehicle raise debt against the project, and OpenAI signs the lease. It is a credit guarantee, which means NVIDIA's balance sheet is what makes the campus bankable. For 3 years, the binding constraint on frontier training has been compute. Over the past year, the emerging constraint has been electricity. And what this deal makes explicit is that capital is now a third constraint, and that the chip vendor is willing to underwrite it directly rather than wait for demand to arrive on its own. Ben Thompson framed the same week's news as a capital problem rather than a compute one. Everyone knows the industry is short of accelerators and will soon be short of power. But if revenue does not arrive fast enough to pay for the build-out, the gap has to be bridged by financial engineering. NVIDIA tapping long-duration capital and Google leading on equity issuance are two versions of the same bridge. The obvious hazard is circularity, a guarantee that improves the credit of an entity whose principal use of the borrowed money is to buy the guarantor's silicon, puts the vendor's balance sheet inside its own demand curve. That does not make the revenue fake. OpenAI's annualized revenue is separately reported to be approaching $40 billion, and Anthropic's second quarter revenue came in around $11.5 billion, up roughly 14 times year over year. But it does mean the blast radius of a demand shortfall now includes the supplier and not only the buyer. Thompson's read is that the financing expands that radius specifically in service of protecting NVIDIA's margins, which are the thing a slowdown compresses first. The practical signal for anyone building on this infrastructure is duration. A two-phase campus underwritten at this scale is a bet that large-scale pre-training and long-horizon reinforcement learning workloads keep absorbing dedicated capacity through at least 2028. Rather than migrating to shared cloud or being displaced by inference side efficiency. It also sets a template. If vendor-backed credit becomes the standard way to finance frontier capacity, the effective cost of compute for the labs that can obtain it diverges sharply from the list price everyone else pays. Moving on to our second story, which is the one place this morning where the mechanism does not exist yet. Army Lieutenant General Joseph Gerard, Deputy Commander of United States Northern Command, told the Space and Missile Defense Symposium this week that the American military could not defeat a drone swarm attacking the homeland. His reason was specific, and it covers both halves of the problem. The sensors to detect a swarm depend entirely on where it attacks, and in some locations they do not exist at all. The weapons to engage one are equally thin. He is the second Northern Command general in 3 months to say this in public. The Pentagon is asking for $21 billion for counter-drone sensors, munitions, and related equipment, which is a record, and the department's year-old counter-drone hub has had its authorities broadened to engage drones around bases inside the United States. But the offensive side of the same ledger is what explains the urgency. The United States has lost upward of a quarter of its Reaper fleet during the Iran war, airframes costing as much as $50 million each, based off slow, low-flying, and straightforward targets for modern air defenses. The response is to move procurement toward cheap drone swarms, and the learning curve there is steep. Ukrainian operators reportedly beat United States forces without much difficulty in exercises earlier this year. Ukrainian intelligence separately assesses that Russia's Starlink analog is moving faster than expected, with 40 satellites in orbit and close to 300 planned for 2027. Underneath this is a cost exchange problem that autonomy has not solved in either direction. Shooting down a $1,000 quadcopter with a $1 million interceptor is unsustainable, which is what drives the search for cheap effectors, directed energy, gun-based systems, small interceptors, electronic attack. But detection is the harder half, and it is the half that is machine learning. Distinguishing a hostile swarm from civil air traffic over populated ground is a sensing and classification problem where the tolerance for false positives is close to zero. And there is a wrinkle that makes the Homeland case genuinely different from Thopter counter-drone work. Engaging an unmanned aircraft over American territory involves civil aviation authorities, law enforcement, and base defense commands whose sensor pictures do not currently fuse into one another. That integration problem is organizational rather than technical, and it is precisely the part that no procurement line resolves on its own. Third, up on Tuesday, Anthropic confirmed that Claude would watermark its text output. The conspicuous gap in that announcement was mechanism, no algorithm, no cost figures, no robustness testing. Friday's explainer closes most of it, and the construction is worth understanding because it determines what can be built on top of it. The watermark is distribution level rather than character level. At each decoding step, the sampler biases its selection among candidate continuations according to a keyed pattern. So, the signal lives in the statistics of the choices rather than in anything added to the string. Nothing is appended. There are no hidden characters. No extra tokens are consumed, which means no additional cost. And Anthropic says there is no practical effect on output quality and no difference a reader could detect. Two properties matter more than the construction itself. The signal carries no identifying information and cannot be traced to a person, an organization, or a conversation. It indicates only the likelihood that a passage came from a watermarked model. And it will not be Claude-specific. Since the 2nd of August, providers serving the European market have been required to mark AI-generated content, and the developers who co-signed the same code of practice are implementing their own schemes. That is the only configuration in which any of this works. A per-vendor mark is worthless unless detection generalizes across vendors. The same week produced the counterpoint. Google will now let users switch off the visible watermark on its image and video generations while leaving the invisible provenance signal intact. A clean separation between user-facing labeling, which is a product decision, and machine-detectable provenance, which is the regulated one. And the research pressure is already visible in where it is going next. Statistical text watermarks survive paraphrase only up to a point, and their robustness cuts both ways. A scheme durable enough to survive editing also lets an adversary alter the substance of a passage while keeping the attribution intact. The failure mode, known as piggyback spoofing, work posted to the archive this week, proposes co-embedding two signals under independent keys with different seeding windows, one robust and one deliberately fragile, so that detection returns a three-way verdict, intact, tampered, or unwatermarked, instead of a binary. I expect the next year of provenance work to be about tamper evidence rather than detection. And for our fourth and final story today, the most technically satisfying of the four, Google has open-sourced a compiler called AIR that converts pre-trained models operating on ordinary data into models that operate directly on homomorphically encrypted inputs. The pitch is a usability one, and that is the whole point. Homomorphic encryption lets a server compute on ciphertext and return ciphertext without ever seeing the underlying values. The mathematics has been steadily improving for 15 years. What has kept it out of production machine learning is that converting an existing program to use it efficiently requires a team of cryptographers. Google's stated goal for AIR is a one-click path that lets people who are not cryptographers put encrypted inference into an application, and the company published four worked examples compiled through it with single-threaded processor latencies, including a deep learning recommendation model that serves recommendations without the server ever seeing the user's features. The framing Google uses is the useful one. homomorphic encryption converts a capability versus privacy trade-off into a pure cost question. End-to-end encryption protects data from breach, but blocks any server-side feature that depends on content. On-device processing avoids the server but is bounded by the device and risks leaking a proprietary model to the client. Encrypted computation removes both horns and leaves only overhead. And unlike enclave-based approaches, the guarantee is cryptographic, rather than a matter of trusting a hardware vendor's attestation. The ecosystem detail is the part I would watch. Google has been partnering with builders of dedicated homomorphic encryption accelerators and says it will demonstrate their latency benefits shortly. AIR has also become a shared research substrate. A cryptographer can implement one optimization and inherit the surrounding infrastructure for testing and benchmarking. With collaborations across Georgia Tech, Carnegie Mellon, Purdue, Edinburgh, Tsinghua, and others, and 4 peer-reviewed papers built on it so far, be realistic about the envelope. This is small models on structured features, recommendation, fraud scoring, clinical triage across institutions that cannot pool data. It is not encrypted transformer inference at frontier scale. Bootstrapping costs still dominates for deep, nonlinear networks, but a compiler that makes the easy cases routine is exactly what determines whether the accelerator hardware finds a market, and the regulated sectors have both the compliance pressure and the margin to absorb the overhead first. So here is what this morning was actually about. 4 groups of people spent the week trying to convert a promise into something enforceable. A credit guarantee makes a lease bankable. A keyed sampling bias makes provenance testable. A compiler makes privacy cryptographic instead of contractual. And a general standing in front of a symposium in Alabama described what it looks like when the mechanism has not been built yet. No sensors, no effectors, and an honest admission that the promise is currently just a promise. The week that preceded all this was full of capabilities showing up ahead of schedule. This morning was about the unglamorous work of building the things that hold them. There are 208 items in the full digest today. The one I would point you toward is Google's homomorphic encryption post, if you only read one. But there is also a paper on aborting futile reasoning. Training models to recognize when a problem is past their capability and stop rather than generating a confident and subtly wrong derivation. That one has been on my mind. There is no digest tomorrow, so I will see you Monday. Until then, notice which promises around you have mechanisms behind them.